On this episode of Brookdale Beat, Tom Brennan talks to Chad Schoenfeld, assistant professor in culinary arts and hospitality, about some new additions to the program and the Culinary Olympics, where Chad is a co-captain of Team USA.
Welcome to our look at the people, organizations, and initiatives within Brookdale Community College and beyond. This is Brookdale Beat.
Chad, thank you for joining us here for Brookdale Beat. It's been a while since we've been able to get you in here, and we'll talk about that later on. But we first want to start out where you started in your culinary journey. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on. And, you know, I love Brookdale because it's where I got my start.
Okay.
Here. So I went to Brookdale many years ago. I like to say I'm not going to divulge that information. I'm just going to keep that close to the chest. But
fair enough.
I graduated from Brookdale with my culinary arts degree, my AAS degree, and I moved on from there to Fairleigh Dickinson University for my bachelor's and master's. And when I first started here at Brookdale, I was more focused on getting into architecture, actually.
Really?
That was my original major.
Okay.
Or my intended major. And then I just got bit by the culinary bug. I was working in restaurants at the time, and it just felt good.
Mm.
You know, I talked with some counselors and things, and they just said, "What are you good at?" And I said, "Well, I've been cooking for 4 years in restaurants. Let me give that a shot." And
right.
And it turned into a whole life. So
I find a lot of times students come here wanting to do one thing and then realizing that there's something else that they're passionate about. And I think here at Brookdale, the thing you can do is you can afford to make that pivot, where sometimes if you go to some places, you've invested way too much.
Oh, absolutely.
Even in your first semester. So, and then you have advisors and folks that'll be able to kind of help you along that path. So in your case, it worked out great.
Yeah, absolutely. The ability to be able to pivot and do that was everything to me.
Yeah.
You know, and having the support system in place, and that culinary center was just such a welcoming spot. You know, it's been such a gem.
And I've heard from other students, by the way, that it is still a welcoming spot. I've heard from a couple of folks that it hasn't changed since you were a student either. So in that way, which is good.
I can only hope to keep that.
Yeah, I think you're doing a fine job at it. Speaking of the students, do you find that there's a common thread with students that are going through the program? Maybe they are those folks who just don't know what to do, or
we have a big variety. We have second careers. We have traditional students coming straight out of high school and high school vocational programs. So we have a lot of articulation agreements and transfer pathways from high school vocational programs, Freehold, Five Star, Monmouth County Vocational, OCVTS. So we have a lot of students that know what they want early on. We also have the traditional student that goes through high school and joins us. And then we have students who are pivots.
Okay.
You know, that start as a psychology major or a anthropology major and just go, I love food. You know, I'm staring at it all day on TikTok and Instagram, and I want to learn how to do that stuff.
So in other words, you poach those students.
You use a
culinary pun.
Like a pair. There you go.
I don't know. I may be full of that this morning. I'm not entirely sure. So I know that there are some new programs that you guys have available. There is the hospitality, tourism, and event management. So let's talk a little bit about that. What does that involve for students coming on board?
Yeah, so our department runs in basically front and back of house. So we have our culinary students, obviously, and we have our hospitality students. So hotels, travel, tourism, the big umbrella of tourism.
Right, right.
So the big change for us in that department was to try and get into more of the event space. Originally, the hospitality department and most hospitality departments were more focused on hoteliers, hotels, and restaurants. And the reality is a big emerging market for us in New Jersey is events, sports teams and event spaces and catering halls and all that stuff. So being able to capitalize on that and kind of move the content over to that that thread was really, really important to us. We were following some of the bigger four-year institutions in doing that, and especially the ones that we transfer to.
Yeah.
So they changed theirs, and we said, okay, our students are trying to get there. You know, we get you there and all that.
Yeah,
moniker.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So we looked at that information and gave it a year or two to kind of settle on the 4 year, and then we moved our program.
Yeah, I think, and that's another important thing to know too, is that we have the, here at Brookdale, there's the ability to do that because you can see in the, you can see into the future of where things are going. So that's a, that was an important thing to do. And there's also sports management as well, right?
Yes. So speaking to stadiums and things like that. So a big portion of what our sector does is the event space, and specifically the sports event spaces.
Yeah.
So MetLife Stadium, Prudential Center, you know, all of these places are huge. PNC Bank Art Center, you know, these are huge event spaces. They don't just do sports teams. They do host sports teams, and they are known for that, but they also host a variety of other events, concerts and private events mm-hmm. even. And even within that thread, they are also huge for the hospitality sector with regards to boxes and all of that. So the food has gotten, it's not peanuts and popcorn anymore. It's sushi and Wagyu beef and the, you know.
Yeah. And I also, and it's funny you should mention that too, because sometimes people do just associate hamburgers and hot dogs. But then when you go up into those box sections, or even there is Wagyu beef, there's shrimp, and all that stuff needs to get made by somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're not talking about making Thanksgiving dinner, because you're talking about tens of thousands of people, and there needs to be an army of people that are preparing all that stuff that you will never see them, but they're there and they're working hard. And I think, and there's a lot of there that you need to be able to feed that army with students, and that army needs to feed the people that are going to be at those events.
Absolutely. And the big companies like Delaware North and Sodexo and all these, they're doing a great job of pushing food forward at these locations and saying, okay, clientele is looking for the higher end, you know, they don't want chicken fingers and French fries in there.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with nothing wrong with chicken fingers and French fries.
My daughter loves them. So,
but when you go in and you have coal-fired pizza available, or you're prepping something for a Food Network stand or those types of things, again, there are people that need to do that. You need to be able to prepare it, because it's not simply just dropping something in a fryer.
Correct.
There's more to it than that.
And the experience is everything. You know, that's what hospitality is. It's experience.
Yeah.
So we're selling the experience.
Yeah.
That's our job.
I just have to also just make a note to, if you work in the hospitality industry, my hat's off to you, because it is not easy to deal with the stress of doing what you're doing and then dealing with the hospitality end of that. And I often read threads of like, what's something somebody should do for 6 months, you know, just to get a better view on life. And always it's absolutely hospitality.
Absolutely.
And customer service, but hospitality's up there too. And it is indeed something that you need to have a special person to be able to deal with that.
And you appreciate people differently.
Yeah.
You know, you look at people differently.
And
you're able to read situations, and it's such soft skills.
Yes.
Like the evolution of soft skills in the industry is just unreal.
Yeah. And I think you guys do a great job of gearing people up for that.
We try. We do our best.
So the Culinary Arts AAS is accredited by the American Culinary Federation.
Yes.
Which you happen to be a certified executive chef in that federation too. What does that exactly mean for students that are here? What does that...
So ACF accreditation is so American Culinary Federation itself is a nationally recognized chef's organization that tells us or gives us the tools to be able to teach students in more of an organized way, using specified lessons and curriculum and order of operations with regards to some things that we teach. Gives us the ability to get students prepared for industry, because most of the staff that work at the ACF are industry chefs. So our students come in, and ACF provides us not only those tools, but they also provide certifications for our students.
So when
our students graduate from our program, our culinary program, they come out with certifications through the ACF, and that gives them the leg up for larger scale jobs, you know, like Hilton's and I said Sodexo's and Delaware North.
So would that be something like food safety or that type of thing?
Certified culinarians, certified pastry chefs. So as well as other certifications, we get them the normal stuff, serve safe, like sanitation.
Okay, that's the one I remember when I worked.
Tips training for our hospitality students.
Yes, oh yes. Yep. No, yep. That one too.
Safe service.
Yeah, yeah.
But ACF itself is a huge governing body of the United States and internationally.
And I think that would they be the kind of place that offers the helicopter view of things to help provide some guidance for people who are on the ground like you to help teach students, this is really what you need to know if you're going to continue on in
industry
in a career.
Perspectives. Yeah. Yeah. Industry perspectives is one of their big things. You know, they have the chefs there run almost every large scale operation in the United States. Mm. So, they're providing a different view. We see a very, micro view, and they see the macro.
Yeah, which is good. Good to have. So, and you also have something going on too. And this is one of the reasons why it took us so long to get together was because every time I'd email you and say, hey, what about this week for Brookdale B? You're like, I'm sorry, I'm training for the Olympics. So this is the Culinary Olympics. Yeah. And you happen to be a co-captain on that team. So could we talk just a little bit of, and I want you to just, talk about yourself for a little. What does this is a big deal for people who are in your industry. So let's talk a little bit about that. It is something that's going to be happening. When is this? Is in 2028? Is that when it's going to be happening?
Yeah. So the Olympics, we follow the same schedule as the Summer Olympics.
Okay.
So it's 2028, and it's always held in Stuttgart, Germany.
Okay.
Just because of the space and having to set up kitchens and all that, they have a very specific location for it.
Right.
So that's then. And then actually we're in hyper-focus mode now, November. So over Thanksgiving, I'll be in Luxembourg for the World Cup, which is our kind of halfway point.
All right.
I think most sports have like the World Cup every 2 years, and the Olympics the next 2 years.
And it's not, and you co-captaining a team. So you're a co-captain of the American team.
Yes, yes. Right? I'm captain of the American team.
Which highlights American, for lack of a better word, food and cuisine, right? And I would imagine the folks, I mean, there's, I don't know, I mean, you would be able to tell me, but I'm quickly looking through. There looks like maybe 15 people on the team.
Yeah, so we have 13 chefs.
Okay.
And we have two coaches, two main coaches, a head coach and an assistant coach. We have two logistics managers. We also have people that come in. We fly, actually our last practice we had several World Chefs Association judges that flew in from Australia and Malaysia.
Okay.
And they're just there to see our food, see where we're at, see how we stack up, because they kind of travel to most of the teams or a lot of the teams.
Okay.
And they kind of give us the litmus test. You know, you get your...
Are you preparing the same thing over? Will you be preparing the same thing until 2028? Obviously, I would imagine you're refining it as you're going along, but
no. So no,
says the co-captain.
It would be nice. No. Yeah, it would be nice. It would be very, very nice. I would adore that. But no, we have a menu that's set for the World Cup right now.
Okay.
And it highlights American foods, things like elk and bison and things that are very predominant in North America, huckleberries. And then we, as soon as we get that menu out there and we execute it once, then it kind of goes into the ethos because we can't really run it back.
Okay.
So we'll revamp, we'll pivot on that. A lot of the executions might be similar, but the ingredients will change, the platings will change, the visuals will change.
Which sounds like a lot of change in there.
Yeah, you got to be willing to pivot.
And I think that there's probably, because you've got such a large team, I would imagine there has to be a lot of coordination that's involved with that as well. So it's not just, you're not just, there's not one person with a cutting board and a knife.
No. Nope.
That's not what this sounds like to me. It sounds like a team who work together to get something there.
Yeah.
And on the plate.
We have six chefs that cook in the box. I'm one of those six, and we have seven support.
Okay.
And that's what it takes to get these runs through. We get 5 hours to do 110 portions of a three-course meal. And then the second day, we get 5 hours to do an eight-course tasting menu for 14 people. And it requires everything to be exact. Measurements, you know, in the food service industry, we use the term mise en place, which is everything in its place.
Yes, so, which I'm a fan of mise en place.
Yes, absolutely.
Completely.
So you need those seven. We rely on those seven chefs for support during preparation as well as during execution to kind of filter things in and out of what we refer to as the box or the actual kitchen where the six chefs are doing the work.
How many other teams are there that are, they're obviously less important than the American team,
yes,
the team absolutely. You're on, but what other, how many teams are competing in this?
So at the World Cup, we have 24 countries, and at the Olympics, it's usually right around 40 countries.
Wow. Okay.
So it's a little bit less for the World Cup. Some countries sit it out because it can be an expensive endeavor.
And it sounds like a lot of work, too, on top of all that.
Good sponsors are everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some really, really good ones. Chef's Warehouse, Ecolab, you know. I think we're onboarding with Chick-fil-A and some other domestic sponsors. And, you know, it takes an army. It takes an absolute army to move 13 chefs, two coaches around the country.
Yeah.
You know, we're jumping in different spots and we still need the same equipment and the same food. And
I don't remember where we talked last time when we were emailing back and forth, but you were out of the state somewhere when we were going back and forth. I'm like, wow, okay, this guy's going and it's just, sorry, I can't make it on Friday because of this.
Yeah.
That's a legit excuse. Like, I feel like taking the day off. You're like, no, I'm flying to California.
Yeah, exactly.
So my hat's off to you. And it does take a lot to do what you do on top of teaching.
Yeah.
Teaching these students in the future. So
I love what I do.
Yeah. And it's obvious too. So my hat's off to you and to everybody in the culinary program here at Brookdale. If anybody wants to find out more about this really exciting program, brookdalecc.edu/culinary.
Yes.
And Chad, I'd love to have you back again, maybe after the World Cup to see how you guys do in the World Cup.
Absolutely.
And it's been a pleasure hanging out with you today.
The best, always.
I'm Peyton, a communications student at Brookdale. Thanks for joining Brookdale Public Radio as we shine a light on Brookdale Community College, where here will get you there. Find more links, information, and listen to this and other episodes at 90.5thenight.org/brookdalebeat.